You are now listening to the Experience Magazine podcast in association with CEIA. Thank you for listening. This podcast is only made possible by listeners like you. We appreciate you, and we hope that you continue to experience with us. Dr. Ralph Brigham is the Global Director of Campus Relations for Southwestern Advantage. For the past 19 years, he has been in charge of the company's relationships with over 200 universities in North America, Europe, and Asia. Prior to his work at Southwestern Advantage, he was the Director of Career Services at Montana State University, Bozeman, for almost 20 years. He has also held positions as Director of Admissions, Registrar, Student Activities Coordinator, and Guidance Counselor. Dr. Brigham earned his doctorate in Higher Education Administration from Montana State University. Ralph has been invited to speak to students at universities across the United States and in France, England, Estonia, Poland, Czech Republic, and Kazakhstan. In addition, he has visited over 200 universities and traveled to 41 countries on 5 continents. Ralph has served as the president of the National Association of Colleges and Employers, NACE, which connects 13,000 career centers and campus relations and recruiting professionals. And in 2013, he was inducted into the NACE Academy of Fellows, the organization's highest honor. He is currently serving as Professional Vice President of the National Council for Pi Sigma Epsilon, the professional sales fraternity. In 2020, Dr. Brigham was elected Vice President for the Employer Network of Cooperative Education and Internship Association, CEIA. And in 2019, he and the Southwestern Advantage were named the Charles F. Kettering Outstanding Internship in North America. Ralph is a certified life coach and works with students and professionals in topics like finance, career, health and wellness, but he most likes to help them in developing habits for life success. Some other fun facts about Ralph: he has run with the Bulls in Pamplona, Spain twice, seen Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix in concert, is a champion axe thrower, skied the tallest mountain in Germany, run a marathon in 3 hours and 11 minutes, played golf on the St. Andrews course in Scotland, and swam in the Dead Sea. Please enjoy this interview now with Dr. Ralph Brigham.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Experience Magazine podcast. I'm Eric Collinson, joined alongside Professor Michael Sharp. Mike, we've had a fantastic day today. We've done several interviews with highly esteemed colleagues and practitioners in our space. I'm feeling really energized, and I'm excited to have our next guest anchor our day of shows.
I agree with that, Eric, but I have to ask you first. So sometimes you introduce me as Dr. Sharp, other times as Professor Sharp, but most often you introduce me as not so sharp. Could you shed a little light on that, those decisions?
Mike, it is highly dependent on my current mood, and I like to mix things up.
Okay.
So I think if you're doing a good job, I will throw you your esteemed credentials of doctor or professor. And then if I recognize a really poor segment and lackluster performance by you, then I may have to refer to you as not so sharp. So it's somewhat dependent, but so far today, Mike, you seem to have held your own.
Well, thank you. Thank you for those compliments. And Eric, I'm also excited about our guest here today. This is Dr. Ralph Brigham. He's the Global Director of Campus Relations for Southwestern Advantage. Ralph is also a member and a leader with CEIA. And so I'm really happy to have him on the show today, Eric, to talk about his work, both external to CEIA. I think he brings an interesting employer perspective, but also to talk about some of the exciting things coming up with the CEIA organization. So Ralph, welcome to the Experience Magazine podcast. It's great to hear you and see you. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's a pleasure being on here. You know, you've done a lot of these, and so it's going to be fun to see what happens today from both of you.
Ralph, why don't you start off and just give our listeners a little bit of a background on you. I'll admit, today, I think your background and some of the fun facts you've thrown in for us to digest are some of the best that I've ever seen in a radio broadcast. So I'm curious to know how you refer to yourself and how you share about some of your life experiences.
Well, I've been very fortunate to have some good friends around the world. I've had travels all around the world. I think I'm up to 41 countries maybe now that I've been to, visited well over 200 universities in North America and Europe and Asia and Africa and Australia. So I've been very fortunate to, between my work at the university and now with Southwestern Advantage, to just have a lot of fun, frankly. It was interesting. Before I got into this, I used to work at Montana State University, and I was in the student affairs arena and had been a student activities coordinator, student union director, director of admissions, registrar. And, you know, it was right after, I think it was the day after Labor Day, that the vice president for student affairs came and asked me if I would run the career center for a year. And I knew that the predecessor had retired and they'd run a national search and didn't have anybody, I guess, that they felt comfortable with or wanted or whatever it was. And so they asked me to come over, take a year's leave of absence out of the registrar's office and run the career center. I'd never been in a career center before. So it was kind of a little scary. And, you know, lots of times on university campuses, when you're asked to do something like that, you do it for a year and then you have retreat rights to your old position. Well, my boss wasn't too happy with me going to take this other position. And so he said, well, you don't have any retreat rights. And I knew I had to go through a national search. So here I am with two young kids in a position that I knew nothing about. And I had to go through a national search to see if I either could stay there or find some other job. I guess that's when I decided that I had a little bit of risk taking in my body. And so I went ahead and did it. It was a fun experience. I think it was probably the about a week or 10 days after I'd started, I was delivered from a number of senior engineering students that they didn't like the way engineering signups were going on for interviews. Well, I didn't know anything about signups and interviews, et cetera. And, you know, it had been set up that at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, the doors would open into the student union ballrooms. And at the far end were a whole row of tables with clipboards, and people ran in and signed up for as many places as they could. They didn't think that was very fun, fair, or efficient. And I didn't know what to do. I knew nobody in the industry except for one person, my friend Tom Devlin, who was at Cornell at the time. I had met him at a business retreat at Stanford University a couple of years before that. And so I called Tom. I said, yeah, here's what I'm into, Tom. What do I need to know? And he said at the time, well, there are really three signup systems going on right now. If you want to do this one, talk to this person. If you want to do this one, talk to this person. Thirdly, if you want to do this one, go here. And we decided at Montana State, we would go with a signup that was championed by Larry Ruth at University of Nebraska at the time. So I called Larry, and, you know, 35 years later, we're still friends because of that good advice he gave me at the time. So that sort of sent me off on my journey into career services.
Ralph, that is fascinating what you shared and also what you've not spoken about. I'm just looking at your bio here. You've run with the Bulls. You're a champion axe thrower. You've climbed or skied the tallest mountain in Germany. I could go on here with your sort of extracurricular endeavors. But what I'm really interested in, and I think our audience will be too, because this brings a certain perspective, is your work with Southwestern Advantage. Can you talk a little bit about that organization?
Southwestern Advantage is the oldest entrepreneurial internship in the country. Started in 1868, and it was right after the Civil War when gentlemen had been talking to a lot of Civil War veterans, and they wanted to get a higher education, but they didn't have any money to do it. So he opened a publishing house in Nashville, which at that time was the southwestern part of the United States, hence Southwestern. And he printed Bibles, gave them to these veterans, and they went out canvassing the country door to door selling Bibles. They made money at it. They had their money to go to school, and hence the company was started. And that went on for many, many, many years, decades. And actually, we don't even sell Bibles anymore, but it's all educational materials. So from very young ages, you know, age two, to learn to listen to their parents read, to colors, to shapes, to animals, to questions, and then all the way up through schooling. And that's what our students do now. Normally, we'd have probably 1,500 or so university students, from most of them, well, about half from the United States and half from Europe, go through a pretty intensive sales training program. And then they go out scattered all across the country, living with host families and meeting with families to talk about education and how our products can help their kids be successful in school. Last summer was a weird summer for all of us. And so we had to transition some into some virtual recruiting, some virtual training, some virtual selling, and then actually did some door-to-door, some face-to-face, meeting with families on their porches or in their houses, you know, abiding by all of the CDC guidelines. And interestingly enough, we had our best summer in 15 years last summer. And that average student who, you know, sticks it out and goes through the summer made about $11,000 last summer, which is not bad for 3 months' work.
That's fantastic. And truly a good testament to you and Southwestern Advantage being really flexible during a very arduous situation in the pandemic. So, Ralph, one of the things that we were really curious about is kind of your involvement in what seems to be this holistic student development process. And so we noted here you're a certified life coach and you work with students in a variety of different topics, helping them in things like finance, their career, health and wellness, and developing good habits for success. Can you share a little bit about your role there as a life coach and facilitating a variety of those different topics?
Well, it's interesting, you know a lot about working in higher education and career centers, and I enjoyed that part at the university. But I think what I discovered was that my view of career counseling was a little too narrow. You know, a student comes in, well, what do I major in? How do I find an internship? And now I need to get a job when I graduate. It's kind of those three steps. And what I didn't consider at the time as much was, well, how does finances affect a person's choice of career? How do relationships? How does their health and wellness? All of these things affect each other. And it was really a few years later when I was traveling to campuses, meeting with students, and they kept coming up with all of these questions that weren't necessarily Southwestern Advantage questions. They were life questions. So I took my counseling background and also then got certified, as you said, as a life coach. And so then I would go to campuses and I'd have a list of people wanting to be more successful, but wanting some help to get there. You know, a young man, I was at the University of Florida and I knew I only had 30 minutes to meet with him. And so one of my favorite questions is, so, you know, Mike or Eric, I know you want to be successful in life. So what would you say are the two worst habits that you have at this point in time that are keeping you from the success you want to enjoy? And this young man thought for a second and he said, my Xbox. Ah, I said, Xbox. So how much time are you spending on that? And he's going, 3 or 4 hours a day. I kind of went, huh? And we talked about that a little bit. And so my suggestion was, can you consider taking that Xbox and putting it back in its box, put it in the closet until, you know, the end of spring or the end of summer, if you're working with us again this next summer? He said, yeah, nobody's ever asked me that. I asked him, well, what's the second habit? And he said, and he pointed to the Kindle that he'd set down on the table. And he said, I love to read. And I said, well, that's a good habit. But he said, I'm reading all the time. And, you know, I'm not getting my schoolwork done. I'm not working with Southwestern Advantage. I'm not doing my other work. And I said, well, maybe we put some limits on it. Or, and I picked up that Kindle. I set it down in my briefcase. And I said, well, I guess that takes care of that, doesn't it? He said, you can't take my Kindle. It isn't even mine. It's my mother's. And I said, well, what's her address? And he started to give it to me. And then he said, no, you wouldn't. I said, well, if I send it back to her, it looks like two birds with one stone. She gets her Kindle back and you get more time. Well, obviously, I didn't keep his Kindle, but was just giving him some ideas there. You know, I had a young lady last summer working with, and she was trying to help with her finances. And one of the first things that I have people do is track their expenses for a month in different categories. And where did every penny go? And she got to the end of that month and we looked at it, and I think she had spent about $750 on eating out the previous month. And she decided that was probably a lot of money for eating out, especially in a pandemic time. And so then we went through and put a budget together and asked her to follow that the next month. And I think she cut it down to $500 the next month, and then she cut it down. But she was starting to see how, well, if I take control, be intentional about my money, I can do more with it. I can put more in my retirement. I can put more to wherever. I can get my loans paid off. And so those are just a couple of the things. You know, health and wellness also comes up with people. And you'll see me probably wandering around a little here because I'm at a stand-up desk. And I like that. I don't like that sitting all day long. So trying to practice some of the things that I preach as far as those students go. And, you know, a lot of work with habits. To me, habits start first thing in the morning. And a question I often ask folks is, did you make your bed this morning? Many of them say no. And I said, well, it's a really good thing to consider. And if you've not heard this before or read the book, go out and Google Navy Admiral University of Texas. And there's a graduation address when he talks about that value of just one little thing that's simple to do. We can all do it in the morning, but you've accomplished something that's pretty easy. You can go on about your day. And once you get one success, one habit formed, now it's easy to go into the next one. So those are just, I guess, some of the thoughts. I also do a lot of work with goals. And you talked about some of my experiences, and I'm still putting together what I call an awesome life list. And I have people do this all the time. Write down 30 things you want to have in your lifetime, 30 things you want to be in your lifetime, and 30 things you want to do sometime in your lifetime. And it's a fabulous exercise. I've seen some great examples of things that people want to do in their lifetime or have or be. And it's really exciting. And, you know, then we can next go into, well, okay, how do we set some goals with that? And now how do we develop the habits and the schedules that go along with accomplishing all of those? So that's a little bit of my, I guess, my life coaching work.
Ralph, that's fascinating. And it's very apparent to me, and I'm sure Eric also, that that lens through which you view your work about life skills is important. And I'm curious to hear, you know, with your involvement with CEIA in the world of work in cooperative integrated learning, how do you see life skills intersecting with cooperative education or with experiential learning or work integrated learning? How do you see life skills playing in there?
They're all integrated. You know, I hear lots of people, and maybe it's gone down a little bit in the last couple of years, but for many years, this thing of work-life balance. And I've gotten to the point where I don't really think there is such a thing, and it certainly is not something I want. So, you know, if you're talking about balance, if you got an airplane, if you give more attention to one wing, it goes down, the other one goes up, or it goes the other way. And so it's really hard to have balance. So I talk about integration. Integrate your life and your relationships and your health habits and your eating habits and all of those with your work. I help people do a schedule. You know, one of the things I'll ask them is, what time they get up in the morning? What time do they start the day? And a lot of them will say 6 or 7 o'clock. And I say, well, everything I read says we need a minimum probably of 7 hours of sleep a night. So if you're getting up at 6 a.m., that means lights should be out at 11 p.m. if you abide by that. Well, then we start from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. in 30-minute segments and plan out your day. Plan every one of those 30-minute segments or cells, if you will, if you got a spreadsheet. And then some people say, but that's so scripted. I don't have any flexibility. I don't have any time for fun. I don't have any freedom. And I say, yeah, you do. You build it in at the beginning. So you got to do grocery shopping. You have to do laundry, clean the house. You want to go to a movie. You want to go to a football game. You have a date. You want to binge on Netflix for a couple hours. Fine. You put it in your schedule. And then the simple thing is follow the schedule. And so to me, those all integrate and not necessarily the balance.
Ralph, I like that, and I like the perspective you bring with life skills education and the necessity for that to be developed or cultivated throughout the higher education experience. I'm curious, what do you see as some of the emerging now? And I think I'm willing to bet, and I'm speculating here, but I'm willing to bet some skills have emerged as perhaps more pertinent now than pre-pandemic. And then I think we can also maybe even talk about skills from a technical standpoint, right? There's this idea of technical skills and technical skill development. But we're also now aware of this necessity for students to develop human skills, right? I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you see higher education institutions or even your organization with Southwestern Advantage facilitating both technical skill development as well as some of these human skills.
Certainly. Well, our organization is all about entrepreneurship and leadership development, personal growth and development. And so, you know, we will concentrate some on the technical skills. Technical skills for us are things like learning your sales talk, knowing the product that they're meeting with families and seeing if there's a need for that at the time. But there are also all of these other skills like communications or problem solving or taking initiative or having motivation, all of those kinds of things that maybe or maybe not are taught in universities. I think maybe depends more on the individual, the professor, whoever is doing it. Our late chairman of the executive chairman of the board said, his quote was, "You don't build a business, you build people, and people build a business." So we concentrate so much on developing and back to life skills, back to all of those other soft skills that so many people have talked about that are needed. You know, everything I've read for decades is you don't get fired because of the lack of technical skills. If you lose a job, it's probably because you can't get along with your coworkers. Now we get into all of the EQ, emotional intelligence arena, and how does that play out and how do we teach that? And so, you know, I think we're doing it, and I know some universities are, but I think our young people need that more and more and more.
Ralph, what you just spoke of is so important. I've never quite heard it articulated that way, but I'm going to use that in my classes, that if, let's hope it doesn't happen, you get fired, it's probably because your tech skills, it's probably because more of who you are presenting who you are. And so, you know, what some people call soft skills, I think we're finding out more and more those are as important, if not more important, than some of the tech skills that you can learn while at college. Ralph, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, talk about your work with CEIA. So you've been, as of 2020, elected as the vice president for the employer network. Can you tell us a little bit about that work and maybe share with our audience any exciting things coming up pertaining to that employer network?
Certainly. Well, it's been fun to get involved in this position. I've been a member of CEIA for many years, but never had a leadership position. And so I guess it was 2 years ago, was honored with the Charles F. Kettering Award for Outstanding Internship or Internship Leader. And that was fun. And I guess that sort of rolled me into being a little bit more involved then with CEIA. And they wanted a person in this vice presidential role. And so we're sort of still figuring out exactly what we're going to do. But the charge that I was given at the beginning of the year is we need some kind of a handbook for employers, a handbook for employers that are saying, we want to start an internship program, a co-op program, work integrated learning, however the title may be, but we don't have a clue. How do we start it? How do we identify the need? Where do we go? How do we recruit? What kind of a program do we set up? All of those kinds of things. And so we've been, a group of us this year have been putting together a handbook for employers exactly trying to meet that need. And we are just about at the point where that can be rolled out here soon. Hopefully this spring, it might even be before the annual conference, which comes up in April. But that's been a big project, and so I don't know what's next. There'll be something, but that was a great start. Now we just need to get that out and connected with more employers that want to start programs.
Ralph, that's going to be an amazing tool, and I could envision us at the University of Cincinnati kind of taking some of your lead and hopefully supplying that as some type of supplement to the materials that we have so we can get more industry involvement and bring in new partnerships to our co-op and work integrated learning space. Ralph, so well,
I think that'll be something that as time goes along, it's going to be a living document, an evolving document.
Yeah.
You know, as changes happen to the economy or to laws, whatever it may be, you know, that we take some of the best of what you've got there at University of Cincinnati. Okay, how do we include, you know, this form or these set of directions or these guidelines? So, you know, I think now that we've got a base, we've got a start, it's how do we grow it and continue? So look forward to having that input from you and your colleagues all across the country.
Of course. Please keep us updated on that development. I think that'll be a really useful tool for a lot of us. Ralph, if we have listeners here that want to connect with you, learn more about your work with Southwestern Advantage, how can they best connect with you? Is there email or social media contact that you don't mind sharing out?
Certainly. rbrigham@southwestern.com gets me an email. I'm certainly on LinkedIn and connected to a lot of folks there. So those are probably the two best and easiest ways.
That's perfect. Well, Ralph, we want to thank you for joining us here on the Experience Magazine podcast. We greatly appreciate your insights, bringing this unique employer perspective to the table, sharing about your work with life skill development and the promotion of some of those human skills that I think are being so heavily emphasized within our space right now, and also the great work you're doing within the CEIA organization. So we really appreciate your time and thanks for joining the show.
Welcome. Thank both you and Mike. Pleasure being here.
Listeners, this has been a production of the CEIA Experience Magazine podcast. Thanks for tuning in.